Les colloques du Collège de France.
Are there questions between ourselves? First of all, would you like to ask each other a question? Or maybe our musician has questions for you also. Who would like to start? Carole, would you like to start?
I was very impressed by the question of whether a music or a piece of music could be identified when it's played backwards. And that was one of the points which was suggested this morning. So do we know to what extent an excerpt of music can actually be recognized even by professional musicians, instrumentalists, composers, when it's played backwards, which was one of the examples which was used
Robert,
this morning.
That was for you.
Yes, so I think it can be recognized because we've demonstrated it. People can do this with a relatively short and simple pattern of tones. It becomes, of course, much more difficult if it's a longer pattern. For us, the reason we use this is because it's simply a way to look at working memory. It's a way to examine the capacity to rearrange things in your mind. Whether in a real piece of music it's such a thing is completely recognizable is debatable. I think under some circumstances, yes. Under other circumstances, no. My favorite example that's very unrecognizable is in the... there's a famous example, I think it's in Rachmaninoff, where he's using the theme of Paganini. Dun, da-da-da-da-dum, da-da-da-da-dum. Then when you hear the theme that goes, da-da-dee-da-dum, da-dee-da-dum.
It's not backwards, it's mirrored in this example.
Exactly, thank you. But that's actually the same tune that's reversed. Hardly anyone knows this except musicologists who spend hours looking at the score. And it's not really relevant. It's still beautiful, even if it's reversed. Mm. So it's maybe, a compositional trick that can be used. There are other examples in music, but for us, it's more like the capacity to rearrange things is probably more important in terms of creativity. So. If you are trying to improvise, or you are trying to compose or rearrange music, etc., you don't have to strictly stick to the, A, B, C, D, D, C, B, A. You simply manipulate the sounds, you reorder them, you rearrange them, you do this all mentally, and possibly in real time as you're performing, if you're improvising or if you're creating a new theme. So I think it's more in that sense. It's not strictly the capacity to reverse, but it's more the capacity to manipulate sounds.
Nina?
So I want to go back to the fellow who asked about trance, just because, when you are playing music, Robert, you just talked about the different aspects that are associated with making music, but when you are actually making it in the moment, at least I feel that, and others have told me that you you are in a kind of trance where your brain is putting together the many things that you have studied again and again and again and again, and they are coming together in a way that is really not reductionistic at all. It is very much a synthesis of all of the different things.
Yeah, I guess another way to think of that is in terms of implicit knowledge. I'm a little, I avoid the word trance because I don't really know what it means. and it's hard to know what other people mean by it too. But implicit knowledge is something we do all the time, and you do it not just with music. You do it when you're playing sports, or you do it when you're answering questions at a lecture.
Maybe I can enter the debate here with, I'm not presenting today, but we do experiments in the lab about the structures of geometry and their possible extension to the structures of music. And I think it's relevant to your question about symmetries. We're proposing and finding support for the idea that there is a sort of language behind both geometry and music which involves repetition with variation. So when you draw a square, which is, by the way, only humans can do, you repeat the same segment four times, but you vary it, you turn it by 90 degrees, and that's what makes it a square, and there are symmetries involved in this operation. Well, so the idea is to try to collect the kind of language, the kind of transformations that are allowed in the domain of geometry and in the domain of music. We find a lot of similarity, and reversal is one of these symmetries which is available more easily in geometry, but we do find it is useful to account for working memory in the domain of, I shouldn't say music, but just auditory sequences that are a little bit structured like music. So it's not the most dominant way of transforming music, but it's one of the operations that seem to be available. It's more available when you've learned the notation so that you have a visual support for music.
And I know from reading your book that there's also the concept of recursiveness,
right,
which is important. And this happens, of course, in language, obviously, but it clearly happens in music and in visual art as well. And the way I think of it, from a neuroscience perspective, is that basically there's a computation that this circuit carries out, which has to do with transforming, organizing in sequences and structures and so on. It's basically one computation, and once this evolved, for whatever reason, I don't know what the adaptive potential may have been, but it's one of these exaptations, right? Once it's evolved, it can be applied over any sort of input. So that's unbelievably powerful.
Retrouvez tous les contenus du Collège de France sur www.college-de-france.fr.